Good evening, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday, and more importantly, happy training camp eve. That's right. We finally made it, folks. Green Bay Packers kick off training camp tomorrow. Vets are reporting today. I have no doubt that late into this stream or after I have ended, we'll probably get some updates, news, what have you. But as of now, things are pretty under wraps. But with that said, the Packers have made the extension for Zach Tom official. That news broke as I was live yesterday, and they did announce the signings of wide receiver Will Shepard, who we talked about, the rookie out of Colorado. And then they have signed a kicker, Mark McKinney. He will be the Packers representation for the International Player Pathway Program. He is an Ireland native. That's right. We've got an Irish kicker to come into camp and essentially be a camp leg to save McManus from having to kick all the kicks. But welcome to the young man in Green Bay. Exciting times. Training camp kicking off tomorrow, as I mentioned. Cannot wait for all the updates. Cannot wait to join the fray starting on Sunday. I get into town on Saturday. First practice I'll be attending is Sunday. Cannot wait. Clearly the Zach Tom news brought about a lot of speculation about Elgton Jenkins. That's going to be, I think, top of mind and probably the most asked question tomorrow regarding Elgton and his placement on the non-football injury list, what that injury might be. I don't think Brian or Matt LaFleur are going to be very forthcoming in that regard, but I'm sure those questions will be asked. And as I indicated, we will hear from Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur tomorrow morning prior to the start of practice. So get ready for your cliches and your coach speak, because it's coming, baby. But more importantly, they'll be out there at Ray Nitschke Field. Cannot wait. Hope if you're in the area, you get a chance to get down there. I know the shareholders meeting later this week. I know I've heard from a lot of people that'll be attending that. It's all here. It's all happening. And I cannot tell you how thrilling it is to be essentially on the back end of the off season and getting ready to, you know, kick it for real, get some actual football going and not speculation and rankings and lists. And, you know, it's a lot in the off season, longest off season in professional sports, but here we are, folks. And it's good to be here with all of you Packers fans worldwide. And I tell you what, if you want to get in the weeds and get really great content, some great writing, some great photographs, all sorts of goodness around your Green Bay Packers, make sure you get your copy of the official 2025 Green Bay Packers yearbook. There's a link in the description of this video. If you're listening on the podcast, go to packersyearbook.com and just use code CHTV for 10% off. That's CHTV for 10% off of your personal copy of the Green Bay Packers official 2025 yearbook, featuring great stuff from Wes Hodkowitz, Mike Spofford, great photographs, great interviews. Do it, folks. You know you want to. The other thing you want to do is you want to go see the Green Bay Packers play some tackle football here in 2025, and you know what that means. You got to give a shout-out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed, the link in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since 1992. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it. All you fine folks, you know you want to see the green and gold this year. What's going on, everybody? So many people already chiming in, including E4. What's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Never thought I would be interested in women's soccer and not give a wet slap about baseball. Your gals from England are making it interesting. I saw Italy scored early, and I know England was not going to go down like that. But unfortunately, I haven't been able to watch the match today. But I always appreciate a good summertime soccer tournament. No question about it. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Jenkins impasse about salary cap or precedent? Oh, very much the latter. I think if it was, maybe not most teams, but I think if there are some other teams in the league that would certainly be, or certainly would have already adjusted Jenkins' contract. But yeah, 2 years left on the deal, no guaranteed money. That's how the Packers have operated forever. And they very, very rarely guarantee much after the first year of a deal. The thing that I think people forget is like the whole showdown with Davante Adams was about that very fact. You know, they didn't bend for Davante Adams. I can't imagine them bending for Elgton Jenkins. But it is a very particular situation. And that's where I'm kind of fascinated about how this plays out. I know Justice put it out there on Twitter the other day, and I tend to agree. You know, they've played hardball with Aaron Rodgers, for God's sakes. You know, they've played hardball with Davante Adams. They just cut Jair Alexander. He had no guaranteed money on his deal. You know what I mean? Like, they've played hardball with their biggest names. So I can't imagine that Elgton Jenkins is going to be significantly different. I thought if something were going to happen, it would have happened way prior to this. Like, the fact that we've gotten here to training camp, or at least on the doorstep of training camp, I suspect the Packers are going to just be, yep, well, this is how we operate. And eventually it'll be up to Elgton Jenkins saying, okay, I'm ready. Or he just has to test his mettle about how long he wants to have this mysterious ailment that's put him on the NFI. Now we've got a long way to go before this, like, kind of, you know, meets the road, so to speak. But man, it's an unfortunate situation, and I can't fathom a world where Brian Gutekunst and Richmond Williams and everybody involved on the Packers side of things, Milt Hendrickson, I can't believe these guys sat in a room and said, you know what? Give Aaron Banks a call right at the start of the legal tampering period and offer him a gobsmacking amount of money to play guard for us. And by the way, the guard we already have under contract, who's really good, we're going to slide him to center, but we're not going to make sure that that's cool prior to making that call. Just, I want to know where's the disconnect there? Because I know almost immediately after the Banks signing, Tom Silverstein had a source that said, oh, the plans move, you know, Jenkins to center. And then when we talked to Brian, I don't think it was much, you know, longer after that, you know, but Brian, like, yep, plans moving to center. Oh yeah, he's on board. Is he? Doesn't feel like he's on board. And look, I get it. I've talked about it a lot. I understand Elton's point of view here. I understand taking away his earning potential and things of that nature. I get that. But man, isn't that a discussion you would have had before blowing up your offensive line's pay structure, hierarchy, what have you? Especially now you've handed this monster deal to Zach Tom. I'm not saying the Packers are operating in poor faith or that they're, you know, doesn't make sense. I get the ideas behind these things, but man, you had to have suspected that Elgton Jenkins was going to be a little miffed. And I can't believe there wasn't more of an effort to make sure that that was smoothed over and or taken care of prior to arriving here today. And that's why I said I thought this would be taken care of a long time ago, but it hasn't been. And I shouldn't be surprised, because that's just how the Packers operate, which is insane. But to come back to your original question, Joe, yes, it's way more about precedent. They hardly ever, ever, ever touch deals with 2 years left on them, ever. I mean, I think the only two times in recent memory that they have is with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. And they guaranteed money past their, you know, 1 year usual kind of threshold. But it's only been the quarterbacks. So, I don't know, man. It feels like a stare down's about to happen. Fred, what's up, man? That's awesome. In honor of camp tomorrow, left hash! Left hash! Man, I don't know where that dude went. Who I think he still works for the Packers in some capacity, but I don't think he's on the day-to-day, on the field, what have you. Man, you talk about the sounds of summer. That was good stuff. That's a sign that camp has arrived. I mean, they have somebody who does it now, but it's nowhere near the same. Like, the voice isn't near the same. Like, now it's like, okay, left hash. Like, no, man. No, we need the guttural stuff. Come on. London Cheesehead, what's up, man? Did you see the Steelers throwbacks? Yes, I did. And I also saw how everyone was slagging them off, which, you know, look, would I choose that pattern, that style? No, of course not. But it's in honor of what they used to wear. So, you know, they're going to play football in them, right? I'm fine. Like, they're not great. They're not awful. They're uniforms. And I hope the Packers beat the team wearing them. That's all. The menace. You're onto something here. Traded Rodgers. Traded Adams. Cut Jordy. Cut Jair. No player is bigger than the team. Elton has 5 to 7 years left. Packers have 100 more years left. Can't set this precedent, even if it cost us Elton Jenkins, number 74. I mostly agree, although I will caveat that with, look at all those players you just mentioned. And I understood and or agreed with most of them in real time, right? But at some point, aren't you just kind of, you know, bleeding talent for a team that continuously comes up short of winning a championship? You know, to quote the internet, I'm just asking questions. I mean, I get it, and I am with you. Yes, nobody's bigger than the team, but they are players, and they have a finite amount of time to earn their living in this league. So if you are Elton Jenkins and you're a really good player and one of the better players on the squad, I understand wanting to be compensated as such. Even, you know, this idea that you do have 2 years left. Yes, I get that. I want some guaranteed money. That's why I said yesterday, and I kind of had a back and forth with Ken about it on Twitter today. The one avenue I could see, and I mentioned this yesterday after the news broke, the one avenue I could see is them taking some money out of 26, putting in 25, ballooning him up a little bit this year, you know, giving him some guaranteed money in 25 with the understanding, both sides understanding, okay, and then we get to the end of 25 and we're moving on. Like, that's the one area where it would make a little bit of sense for both sides. But again, the precedent would be they would never do that. So I'm not really holding my breath. Kyle, what's up, man? Favorite position battle going into camp? I mean, I know a lot of people will probably be talking about the wide receivers and the cornerbacks for good reason, but it's always the offensive line to me as far as, you know, what the last kind of five is going to look like. And that's going to take a while, right? I think it's going to be fascinating to see how much Jordan Morgan is given a legit opportunity to win a left tackle spot. How much, you know, Jacob Monk is out there with the ones. Is he out there as much as he was during the offseason? Even if Elton Jenkins is back, does he get a legit shot to at least compete? You know, right guard, what have you? The offensive line is so important. It makes your offense go. It's the engine of your offense. If that's not right, nothing is. So I always start in the trenches. I think we're pretty much as a collective here, as a fan base, media, what have you, I think we all understand who's going to be playing mostly up front on defense. On offense, though, there's a lot of question marks, a lot of things to shake out, and that's probably where most of my focus will be. And I'm very excited to watch that. Jim, what's up, man? Hey, Nags, predict the surprise of this year's camp. Gregory Jr., the corner that they picked up from Jacksonville, who had been with Jacksonville, I think he's going to surprise some people. And maybe I don't think he's going to become a starter, but I do think he'll probably be in a bunch of different looks, rotations, what have you. And he's a guy who could really help them be as versatile as they want to be on the back end. Well, we'll see. Well, all starts tomorrow. Ryback, what's up, man? Who do you think will take over the center snaps if Elton's not going? Well, this offseason, it was Sean Ryan and Jacob Monk, and I think we'll probably see that continue. And I know there are some people who talked about, well, now they paid Zach Tom, they can move him to center. I don't see that happening. But crazier stuff has happened, so never say never. But most likely, it'll be Sean Ryan and Jacob Monk splitting the duties while Elton is on the shelf. Mimsy. Couldn't have said it better myself. Just one word super chat. Brewers. I'll echo that with my tweet that I put up last night when they broke the game open in a game they had been no hit up to like the fifth inning. And then all of a sudden they score four. I say this. The Milwaukee fucking Brewers, man. What a team. What a year. What a season already. And I get it. Everybody's going off about the, you know, best record in baseball. That's great. But I can't be sitting here telling people a lot of ball game left all throughout my life and like get too excited about the Brewers having the best record in baseball on July 21st. Like, I'm happy. I'm excited. Don't get me wrong. But there is a lot of ball game left. But right now, this is a very exciting baseball team. No question. Sean Gallagher, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Do you have a favorite training camp memory before you were part of the beat? Is there a one former Packer you would love to sit next to during camp? Oh, wow. Is the second part, you mean now or back then? Man, favorite training camp memory before I was part of the beat. It's got to be, you know, coming up with my dad. His years, I mean, we're talking when I was like 10 or something. And or maybe I was a little older. I can't remember. I do remember, though, we kind of passed by or and or said hello to Ken Rutgers. And I thought that was incredible. I thought that was the coolest thing that had ever happened to me in my life. So that's a great memory. And just family stuff, you know, going up to camp, being around Green Bay, being around the Packers. I've talked about this often, but you know, the idea that off seasons really meant that the Packers were kind of out of sight, out of mind. There wasn't this omnipresent internet thing that kept you plugged in all year long. So it was really magical when camp would start up again and you get to camp and you'd see the Packers there. It's like, oh my gosh, it's all back. Like, it was just the best. So that's a great memory from way before I was on the beat. One former Packer I would love to sit next to during camp. Oh, I mean, it was kind of a chalk answer, but Aaron Rodgers. I'd love to talk to Aaron while practice is going on. Talk about who's doing what he sees. You know, he always talked about watching the film of the other side of practice. That's how he noticed Alan Lazard, you know. That would be amazing. That would be incredible. Abdullah, what's up, man? Hey, Aaron, anything from training camp last year that was overblown? Didn't you ask this question yesterday? How should one consume camp? Are you paying attention to pass rush wins, wide receiver catches? I will say pass rush wins, I don't really put too much stock into. I mean, it's instructive in a way to see their technique, but no one really talks about that, right? Or reports on it even. It's all this guy won, this guy lost, which, okay, but it's not really indicative of what would be happening in a football game, right? In a one-on-one situation, unless it's a defensive end slash outside backer versus an offensive tackle who is setting and it's a pass and it's third and long and okay, the guy does get to pin his ears back and take him mostly one-on-one. But even then, a lot of times you're setting stuff up for later in the game. Like, you have a jet call where you're getting up the field, but you're setting up the fact that you're going to take a jab step and they're going to come around on a stunt later. Because you know he's susceptible to that. You know, it's just, there's all these things, levels, context, what have you, that just isn't present when it's two guys, one-on-one, okay, go. You know, and it's so funny when you are with the pack, so to speak, on the beat, and we're all watching these things. And inevitably, there's a rep, or two or three sometimes, where, okay, who'd you have? Like, some people will see, okay, Kenny Clark won that one. And then other people will go, no, Elton won that one. And like, even a bunch of people watching the exact same rep can't agree on who won, you know? So I don't know. That's why, like, I understand why people document it. I understand why it's tweeted out, all the so-and-so won this rep, or, you know, this guy was 4-0 in pass rush drill or whatever. You know, I get it. It's documentation. I understand it. But as far as the question of how you should consume stuff in the camp, man, your mileage may vary. However you want to consume it is legit and totally worth the time, right? What I would suggest is not trying to project that into anything that kind of resembles what's going to happen in the regular season. You know, it is data collection for sure, but it's not much more than that. So that's my take it with a grain of salt moment there. And thanks again, man. How much is Jenkins' malcontent due to Banks and Tom big contracts, and how much is it a move to center from him being away a year away from free agency? Well, he's not a year away from free agency. He's 2 years away from free agency. It's much more about not having any guaranteed money. That's the gripe, especially considering he is moving to center, where that's another year where he's in the trenches. I think he understands there's a decent chance the Packers move on next offseason, where then, yes, he would be in a member of free agency after a year of playing center, which is a position that is not quite as well remunerated as the rest of the offensive line. I do think if they were to figure out a way to get him some more guaranteed money, this would all go away. I think he's fine playing the position, physically, mentally, whatever. You know, but he sees the writing on the wall, and he just wants to make sure he's not losing out on a ton of money. I don't think it's so much about Banks, although I think that's a wrinkle, right? It certainly wouldn't be about Zach Tom getting paid. He understands that. Zach's coming off his rookie deal, you know, and Zach has solidified himself as a core member of the team, much like Elton did, coming off his rookie deal. I don't think there'd be much animosity there. And overall, it's somewhat changed in this modern internet age, but still the vast majority of guys, and the old adage is you don't talk about another man's money. Like in the locker room, that is very serious business. And guys don't, for the most part, talk about other guys' money. And they don't even, you know, relate in that way in any way, shape, or form. But certainly when they're talking to their agents and their family or whatever, I'm sure that stuff is coming up. No doubt about it. Joe, what's up, man? Guess on biggest overreaction from the first practice. Mecole Hardman's going to catch a big bomb touchdown. Everyone's going to be talking about how, you know, he's going to make the team, although he's probably going to make the team because he's a returner. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.